While some of the US index set all-time high last week, the bet into NIO was far from successful. NIO was cut by stop loss in the $1,000 challenge. More about that at the end of the podcast, where you will have this week's $1,000 challenge and the stock which I will enter later today. Indeed, it was a good week last week. As I said, several of the indexes set new all-time high, and we are waiting now for Nasdaq to maybe be doing the same. In this week's podcast, I will argue a little bit for what kind of stocks I think that you should go into. You heard me say this before, but I will put a little bit more meat on the bone. You are listening to the StockInvest.us podcast, Trading Tips with Jim. I'm of course Jim, and for the next some 20 plus minutes, we'll try to make it a shorter podcast this week. I will tell you exactly what I think will happen during the week, and of course, I will dive deeper into what I think the future will hold. But let's start with last week. I thought it would be a good week, and it became a good week. Nasdaq ending at 15,311 points, after being up 2.26%. Now, the interesting fact here is that this upturn was driven by a few stocks. It was not an all-round upturn in the market. It was mainly some of the heavy tech stocks, especially some AI stocks, pulling up the index. Dow Jones ending at 37,864 after gaining 0.72% last week. Indeed, a good week. And for many of you, it was not such a good week. And as I said in the introduction, the bet into NIO did not go well at all, because many of the small cap stocks were falling. And I very often tell you about the amount of buy and sell signals as an argument for what I think will happen when they are too high, etc. And you should believe that as market went up last week, the buy signals should go up, and indeed they actually went down. Across all the tickers that we analyze, 36% now hold buy signal, while it was above 40 the week before. The reason why the number of buy signals fell and market went up is simply because, as I said, the upturn was driven by a few selected stocks. And while speaking about the signals, just let's run quickly through them. Nasdaq also fell down to 33% buy signals, down from some 40 plus the week before. New York Stock Exchange 36, London 30, Frankfurt 31, Tokyo on the other side of the world up at 46, very high there, while Shenzhen China is down at 7. It's the lowest I see in China. I think I saw 6 some time back. So what do this signal? Well, it signals that the market is not overbought. And usually I pull a lot of arguments what will happen during the week, and then I tell you what how I think the market will move. This week I will just switch a little bit, because as I just told you, the buy signals are not overbought. And if we go and look at the chart, and sometimes you should do that, ticker is XIC for Nasdaq, and Dow Jones is DJI. You will see that Nasdaq, for instance, is in a very, very nice trend. RSI is not overbought, it's relatively low. Everything in the chart with good support below is indicating that Nasdaq should continue to push upwards. That is what I believe. That will be my conclusion, that I think Nasdaq will have a good week. But what is happening this week? There is a lot of things happening, and some of them, of course, has the potential to change the market and cause a downturn. The most special thing is, by the end of the week, there will be the spending numbers, how much we as consumers spend, and that will give an indication of the inflation. It will be on Friday. But before that, there will be a lot of quarter results. And these quarter results, they can, of course, change the market. But I think, given the fact that it was only a few companies pulling the market last week, we have very good momentum in the market. So even if the big giant like Netflix and Tesla that will release their quarter results, even if they disappoint, I think the market, there is still room. There is still a lot of optimism in the market to push it up. And this will be one of the most busiest weeks for quarter results. And we will have some indications also on the Q4 growth readings. So we'll see more about this. In general, the different measurement shows that consumers are optimistic about the economy. It's higher than it's been for some time. The growth is expected for US to come in at 2% for Q4, so it's expected to be a very nice growth showing for the Q4. If these numbers come in lower, I don't think even that will change the momentum in the market. And some of the major analysts, like Oxford Economics, they predict that there still will be some growth in the economy. I have argued why that happened before, and just a short recap. You just have to check how the debt is increasing in the United States, the daily ask for more money in the Senate, etc., and you will understand how and why this growth is appearing. Because if you look at private sector, the private sector is cutting workforce all over the board, while still money is pouring into especially governmental sector, and this is expected to continue some more. The odds for recession is now below 50 for 2024. It was a high odds for recession during 2024, but it has been lower now because of the latest economic data. Now, of course, the eyes are on the interest rates. What will happen with the interest rates? And the interest rates, they were all doomed. Very, very high bets on heavy interest rate cuts for 2024. But these have now been lowered. So the market is actually expecting the chance for interest rate cuts to go, it's less than it was just half a year ago when everyone was certain that the interest rates would be cut very hard in 2024. By the way, the kind of growth and interest rates, they go hand in hand, has to do something with your buying power. And if you keep spending money, there will be a pressure in the economy and interest rates will have to remain higher. Right now, 49% believe there will be a cut in March, that to be the first cut. But we will see how the inflation move, and there are things showing that inflation is getting back on an uptick. And when that is confirmed, that is when the markets will slow down, but it will not be this week, in my opinion. Right now, it's a lot about the tech. Tech is in the wind, and tech is moving very, very fast. Now, some of the quarter results earning are expected to come in lower. I also told you this many, many weeks ago that the quarter results for Q4, private sector, etc., they will come in lower, and that is because the profit margins has been squeezed. Interest rates go up, and if you have a debt, and you can read fundamental data, you will find it at stockinvest.us, and you can see the debt ratio, for instance, measure just how much the debt is compared to income. Very, very nice number to know for your company, because if this number is high, it just means that they pay more interest rates. Now, interest rates go up, you pay more interest, of course, and you cannot transfer all the increased cost, like inflation cost on your production items, onto the end customer. You can just push a little bit. You are always in a sort of competition, so you can only push a little bit. You have to take the rest, and that goes on your profit, and that is expected to show in a lot of the quarter results for Q4. How it will affect the stocks, that remains to see, but my bet is that the stocks who manage to hold their profit margins up likely will be some of the winners moving forward. And quickly, just let's run through some of these quarter results. So United Airlines will be today, Logitech will be today, and Science Park Corporation will be today. Three major companies there. Tomorrow will be even more, because then we will have 3M, Halliburton, Johnson & Johnson, Lockheed Martin, very interesting company there, benefiting on the world. Netflix, another one, as I mentioned, will be this week, and they will be Tuesday. Texas Instrument and Verizon. So expect many of these stocks to see significant changes, even starting today. But for sure, as quarter results are released. On Wednesday, it just continues with AT&T, Abbott, Freeport, IBM, and Tesla will be on Wednesday, and more companies. Thursday just continues the quarter results. As I said, it will be a very busy quarter results week. You will have American Airlines, Alaska Airlines, Capital One, Comcast. You will have Intel, Levi's, T-Mobile, Visa, and many, many more. So as you see, there will be busy day during the week with quarter results. On Friday, there will be economic data, and these are the personal consumption expenditure numbers. Will be very, very interesting to follow. The market will follow that. So Friday, I can expect to see some... actually some movements, that especially the, if you like to trade on the opening in anticipation of these numbers, so you can do some trading before the release of the numbers, or bet on the aftermath of the number. On the earnings sides, it will be Colgate and it will be American Express. Rushing forward, and I think I mentioned in last week's podcast, which I thought was very good podcast indeed. It was not the most popular. It had more traffic actually on the Spotify version than the YouTube version. I thought it was a good podcast. But there you see, you the end user determine what is good or what is not so good. But I mentioned to you, and I mentioned over and over again over these years, that war is a place where you want to be, because I saw all the conflicts coming up, the tension in the world. It was very, very obvious to me. Selection of an extremely weak leader with all these globalists getting more power just had to be the outcome that we see. And sadly, more and more aggression is building up. Another argument I made, that the world is arming up, and this will just continue, because we are spiraling in to the 39s, actually before World War II. We see all the similar things, all the arguments, the same stupid arguments. Instead of working for peace, we use the deterrent argument, and that, of course, causes countries to keep their arm race. And when North Korea is building more and more and better rockets, it will not end good. We hear some stupid arguments trying to blame Russia, saying that Russia, if they take Ukraine, they will take the rest of the Europe, etc. Argument is very stupid, because if you listen, they say that, oh, Russia is so weak and they are not able to take Russia, so it's a very Ukraine, so it's a very weak Russia. So they say in one sentence that Russia, it's not dangerous. If we just give Ukraine enough weapons, they will defeat Russia. On the other hand, we push that argument, oh, that they will go to rest of Europe, where the mighty NATO awaits, and NATO is far stronger than Ukraine, and with the support of the United States, even more, because there's a very, very clear clause that if some NATO country is attacked, then it is full scale. So the argument, they fall upon themselves, they are so, sorry to say, beep, 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 stupid. It actually irritates me. Just thinking about it makes me totally irritated as we speak. But there are big, big agendas, and the weapon industry is behind a lot of these things that we see now. The globalist and the weapon industry is behind a lot of these things, because now they are doing so much money. The rich are getting richer, and you as an investor, you can benefit on this same trend. And I told you over and over again, and if you just listen, you would have made so much money if you went into the weapon industry. If we go back to the World War II, what happened just before and during World War II? So many of the absolute biggest companies that we see today, they benefit and grew heavily in the same situation. So I will just mention a few American and a few Europeans, so you just can gather your things, because some of these are obvious and you are looking for a good pick. So where can I get in where it still is cheap? Well, there is still cheap, and last time I told you, so maybe look for those who are producing clothes, etc. And knowing that Hugo Boss were suing all the German uniforms, etc., mention itself. Going to United States, Boeing, for instance, benefited majorly from the build-up of the war, the pre-war and the war. Of course, especially on the airplanes, etc. Boeing being a very good case as we speak, someone has to supply. And IBM, early one in computer and data processing, benefited. So you can ask yourself, so which companies now will benefit from all the AI? Because I can promise you one thing, that AI and data power is more important than ever. Is it Google? Is it Google that will really benefit from all of this? Rake in the huge money in the background. They will not push so much public about these things, but you can just imagine how many governments go into contracts with big data providers to utilize AI and to utilize data more and more. Just an example, this was what, 70 years ago, but it's as valid today. Lockheed Martin, you know, I recommended to go into Lockheed Martin, was into Lockheed Martin myself. DuPont, also super one with explosives, synthetic material, chemicals. You need a lot of chemicals in war, so DuPont went very well. There is no reason why in this arms race that we see that these will not continue. And on the other side, in Europe, several companies grew super large. I will not mention too many because that will make for a longer podcast, and I will not mention the words of them. I just said, like, for instance, Hugo Boss made army suits for the Nazis. So it is what it is. Everyone is trying to utilize war. And just a side note before mentioning these five companies in Europe, for instance, as an example. When I was in Norway, I noticed, and I follow things on Facebook, Meta, also from Norway, so I see a lot of these Norwegian posts, and I saw a lot of people wanting to buy cars, no matter what, and it was Lithuanian people mainly wanting to buy cars, preferably four-wheel cars. Didn't matter if the car was starting or nothing, they just wanted to buy it and was paying hefty prices. Now, that I told my friends that this has to be because nobody would buy a car without trying to have an argument for making money on it. Like, it's either very cheap or there are some very special reasons to buy a car. Nobody buys a car just to buy it at excessive prices. So I said, this has to do with Ukraine war, or war for sure. Here is black money corruption involved. Now, fast forward, I was sitting last week reading a little bit here in Lithuania, and in the Lithuanian news, it suddenly came up that the son of a chief, military chief, very high position, his company had made insane money on buying cars for the Lithuanian army, civilian cars for the Lithuanian army. Goes hand in hand, these things, and there is money to be made, and all I want is for you to grab into it. And as I said last week, the ethical issue of these things, you have to argue with yourself, because it's truly an ethical issue. But if you don't do it, others do it, and they will make money on it. EG Farben grow to insane dimensions during prior to the war and during the war, especially going into governmental contracts with analysis for chemicals, rubbers, fuel, and other critical items needed for the war. You can just ask yourself, as they are arming up, everyone is arming up, who is making all these boots? So maybe that is where you want to try to find that company is producing military boots, because they will report one quarter after the other with the strongest growth that anyone has seen in decades. Volkswagen is another company we like to drive. Volkswagen is a steady car, but it's totally built on the war machine. That's how it became so big. And later, Fiat is also another car company is delivering engines, etc. For aircrafts, etc. And these companies have just continued to grow. There were just some samples. The perfume industry is even worse, because they had access, and the medical industries, they had access to doing tests on real humans. So some of the brands in the industry of cosmetic and beauty, they are built on other people's suffering. Not meaning to be depressive there, I'm just saying that war is, and you can just read about it, because everywhere conflicts are popping up. It had to happen, it was doomed on the very first day, and it will be self-inflicting, because the dollar is losing value. It's not every single day, because money is moving toward gold. We have the BRICS country, all these things that we spoke about in this podcast series. And that one is a race that US cannot lose, and US will have more and more reason to get involved in conflicts. Has nothing to do with you as an American listening. I love all humans, all races and everyone. It's just a fact. In Europe, we see the same thing. We see some of these warmongers, they are in for the race as well. And sorry to see that Norway, which I thought was a stable, good country, can argue the way that they do. But we have left liberals in politics, in huge positions around Europe, and their damage is just getting worse by the day. Anyway, no matter what happens, if it was just my opinion, you think that my opinion is wrong, I'm not wrong about the army industry using building up. You can check every single country is adding more money to their defense budget, and these money will have to be spent somewhere. And where they will spend, there will be growth. So that was my argument for you. Summarizing all of this, the main point is I think it will be a good week for Nasdaq as well. I think some of the small cap stocks will come this week. There will be a lot of quarter results. I expect a lot of movements and headlines and news pushing during the week. And if you have one of the companies that will have quarter results this week, make sure to know which day so you don't get taken by surprise. And the overall consensus is that many companies will show lower profit, while some will show better profit. And I think a lot of the focus moving forward will be on that point. Wrapping up the podcast, I wish I could tell you something very interesting from my personal life, but last week was quite ordinary, I would say. Nothing really unique happened last week that I know of, and it's still too much snow to do metal detecting. I went into NIO at 785. I thought that was a buying opportunity. Everything was settled for NIO to do, but then NIO started to break down. And as one user wrote on the Discord, if it breaks under this, it's a clear sell signal under the moving average, which it didn't, and it just crashed. Very good observation there, and it's totally true. If you pass down either the 50 or the 200 moving average, you usually have a strong reaction down. I had my stop loss at 650. I told you this in the last week's podcast. I was willing to take the gamble, hoping for a turn up. Didn't happen. NIO fell to 650 and even more. I think it's standing around 607. And that trade was cut with 17.20% stop loss, some of the biggest stop loss I ever taken. But it was a gamble. We had doubled our not doubled we had 50% plus gain on our $1,000 challenge so far. But with the loss of last week, we really cut in to that profit, still sitting some 30% profit overall, but that 17% loss was not what we wanted. So what will I do with the money the stocks is sold? And as I told you, I will tell you which stock I will buy before I buy it, so you can see the trades as they appear. Now I had a look at stocks, and the original idea was to pick those who were totally bumped, because they usually will have a reaction up. NIO is totally currently bumped, should go up. But I checked Lucid as well, and Lucid was even more bound, with some signs, finding a pivot bottom for instance, some signs that it might turn, and I see the upside of Lucid, the very short upturn, is big. So I'll be crazy enough to go back to Lucid. Overall, electric vehicle doesn't have the momentum as we speak. So I wouldn't recommend anyone, unless you're very long-term like me, I keep accumulating EVs at current levels, because I think it's very good values. But EVs in this current state do not have anything. You read one country after the other is abandoning EV because of all the problems. But as I said, it just had to happen. It was overdoom gloom by woke, by left liberals, without any thinking. They were pushing an agenda that was not ready to be pushed. Caused for a lot of upturn, a lot of money on upturn in different industries. Here come all the problems, but they are right about the future. That is my argument. We just will have to see which one survives the massacre, which is in green as we speak. But some of them will survive, and they will be thriving big, big companies in the future, because the tech is getting better by the moment. So I think EV has a chance of a rebound this week. I will go into Lucid. Currently the stock is sitting around 265, but I will find where to enter when the market's open. I will post on the YouTube video my buying position. 27 minutes already, a few minutes more than I expected. I think that we will just end the podcast here. All that remains is to wish you a very, very good week. I hope by the end of the week that your portfolio will be greener than it was when the week started. So until next time, just have a good week. Bye.
Welcome to StockInvest.us Stock Analysis. We remind you that trading involves a high risk of losing money, and that you should speak with a financial advisor before buying or selling any securities. You should not base your investment decision upon StockInvest.us. By using the information, you agree and are held liable for your own investment decisions.